I would like to read to you this morning. It's probably the shortest reading I ever did. It's Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. The sixth commandment. It says, "Thou shalt not kill." It says also in the book of Genesis, on chapter 9, in verse 6, "Whosoever or whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." God will bless his word. It was silent now in the field. It seemed as if the birds had ceased from their singing. It seemed as if the wind stopped. His little brother lay still on the ground, unmoving. He wasn't breathing. His heart had stopped beating. His blood was slowly soaking into the ground. Cain's face showed no sorrow. It was cold, calculated, premeditated murder. The first in this world. But not the last. The first parents in this world had to bury their own son. The first man born into this world was a murderer. Cain took his nature and his motivation from the evil one, and he killed his own brother. Why? Because Abel, his brother, was righteous, and he was a virtuous person, according to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12 in the New Testament. And God said to Cain, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground." Genesis 4 verse 10. But in this world, the spirit of murder grew stronger and stronger as time passed. And soon the earth was filled with violence. Then God sent the flood and wiped them all from the face of the earth. The new beginning was with Noah and his sons. But the spirit of murder, the shadow, the darkness still existed. It still lived in the hearts of men and women. And then God said in Genesis 9, "Whosoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." It was God who introduced capital punishment. Then on the mountain of Sinai, God uttered the unchangeable law. God said, "Thou shalt not kill." thou shalt do no murder. The first point I want to give you is this. The commandment, its meaning, and the punishment. The sixth commandment, its meaning, and the punishment. The Hebrew word for kill, as it says in my version of Exodus and chapter 20, it really just means murder. It doesn't mean kill, murder. The word refers to the killing of human beings. This word is never used in reference to killing animals, never. The word is murder. You see, you can't murder an animal. Only a human can be murdered. I say that because Hare Krishnans, for instance, they would say, oh, Christians are hypocrites because their Bible says, thou shalt not kill, but they kill animals to eat them as meat. So therefore they're breaking their own commandment, but they haven't got a clue, they don't know even what the word means. It doesn't mean, it's not referring to killing, it's murder, and it's never used in connection with animals. And anyway, God tells us to eat that meat as well in the Bible. He gives permission. So. The two words used in Exodus chapter 20, and there are only two words in that commandment in the Hebrew language, simply mean no murdering. And it's the harshest sentence that can be uttered in the Hebrew language. That's what a man called Cole, a commentator, says. Matthew Henry the Puritan says, the sixth commandment concerns our own life and the life of our neighbors. Now, thou shalt not murder. Murder is mostly, and I say mostly because it's not always, it's mostly a premeditated, deliberate act. Although instinctively going into a rage and killing someone on the spur of the moment is still counted as murder by the Bible. And there also can be murder by carelessness according to the Bible. Now we look at that in just a short time. But the commandment is very plain and obvious. No murdering, God says. What's the punishment of the sixth commandment? The punishment is death. Whosoever sheds man's blood by man shall his blood be shed. And it says in Exodus chapter 21, in verses 12 and 14, let me just read them to you. He that smiteth a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, he doesn't hide and wait to get the person, but God delivers him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place where that person can flee. If it's an accident, you can flee to one of the cities of refuge. Verse 14, but if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor and slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from my altar that he may die. That's the altar, you see. There was an altar. The place of refuge was the altar in the temple. If someone killed someone by accident, they could go to the altar and it was a place of refuge and they would be saved. God says in his law, if someone has deliberately killed someone, take him from my altar. He must die. There's no protection in God's law for premeditated murder. Punishment is death. I'm not going to quote any more. There are hundreds of references. Are there any exceptions? The commandment is you shall not murder. Are there and murder is a premeditated act, or you can murder in certain other ways, which I'll deal with in a minute. Are there any exceptions? Because it's a death penalty. In other words, are there situations when people can kill someone else, but it's not murder? The answer is yes. Is there a situation when killing is not murder? The answer is yes. And let me give you a few cases. According to the Bible, the execution of criminals who have committed serious crimes is not murder. God commanded the death penalty in Israel. God does not command sin. God is holy. But he commanded. God does not command murder. He forbids murder. But he commands the death penalty. People listen. It is not murder if a government or a system of justice executes someone for a serious crime to punish them from their evil, according to the Bible. Now that is also New Testament teaching, by the way. That's not just Old Testament. It says in Romans chapter 13 and verse 4 that God, there in that passage, in that verse, God still upholds the right of governments to exercise the authority, or gives them the authority to continue to exercise capital punishment in the New Testament. It says there in Romans 13 verse 4, talking about those that are in authority in government, they bear not the sword in vain or for nothing. And the sword is for execution. That's what all the commentaries say. The phrase affirms the right to execute. They don't bear the sword in vain, government. And it says also that in that same passage in the New Testament, that that is a fearful thing to those that do evil. But it's not a fearful thing to those that do good. Now the Bible is not saying or justifying in any way a bad government or a state executing people for petty crimes or for religious reasons. No. The Bible is talking about crimes like murder or rape or things like that. But execution by a system of justice for a serious crime is not murder, according to the Bible, because God commands it. Are there any other exceptions? Is there another situation when killing is not murder? Well, there is. Killing in war is not murder, according to the Bible. Because you see, God sent Israel into Canaan, and he commanded them to go to war. God does not command sin. God does not command murder. Let me give you a quote. Look at any other references in the Old Testament. Look at King David. Was he not sent into war by God? Are you saying God commanded him to murder? That's not murder. War is not murder. Murder can happen in war. War is not murder. I give you a quote. Look at all the kings. To kill in defense of freedom and security of the weak and defenseless is justified. War is not murder, according to the Bible. And by the way, pacifism is not an option, according to the Bible. Remember when John the Baptist was preaching about righteousness, and the Roman soldiers came to him. It's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 14. The Roman soldiers, under conviction of sin, they came to John the Baptist and they said, "What will we do?" You know what he said to them? Don't extort money or accuse people falsely, and be content with your pay. He didn't tell them, resign from the army. He said, be content with your pay in the army. None of the soldiers, and there are many, none of the soldiers that came to Christ or any of the apostles and got saved none of them were told or encouraged to resign from the army. None of them. War is a fact. It is not murder. God sends people to war, and God does not ordain or command murder. And there's another exception when killing is not murder, according to the Bible. And that is killing by accident. That's why there were seven cities of refuge in Israel. Refuge in Israel. If someone accidentally killed another person, say you were building a high wall and you knocked a stone over and it hit someone, you could flee to one of the cities of refuge and be safe there. No one could touch you. The relatives. In Exodus chapter 21, let me give you a detail from the God's law. Here it gives very specifics. If an ox gores a human being and attacks that person and gores them and kills that human, then the ox, according to God's law, is to be put to death. Just like today, if a dog savages a human, you put the dog to death. Now that is an accident, isn't it? That's a complete accident. The owner of the ox didn't know that that was going to happen. He wasn't really responsible. It was an accident. He didn't know what was going to happen. But that's killing by accident. That's not murder. But in the same chapter in Exodus 21, it goes on to say, if the ox has been aggressive in the past, has attacked people in the past, and the owner was warned, but did nothing about it, he took no action, and then the ox gores someone and kills the person, then the Bible says the ox and the owner of the ox are to be put to death. That's murder. By carelessness. Because you see, the owner is responsible now. He knew it happened before. It could potentially happen again. But he didn't care. He took no action. He wasn't responsible. He let it happen. He's to be put to death. That's murder. Murder by carelessness, according to the Bible. So if someone is killed by accident, it's not murder. But if someone is killed through carelessness, the neglect of care, that is murder. Let me give you a quote in this book on the Ten Commandments. Do you think that's harsh? How else could the laws of Israel uphold the sacredness of human life in the face of a man who clearly considered the economic value of his ox more important than the safety of his neighbor? There is an important lesson here for negligent and often greedy directors of industry, drug companies, and food manufacturers. Those who hazard human lives for financial gain are guilty of the breach of the sixth commandment. When death results from something like this today, the courts call it unlawful killing. That is just murder by another name. If you know that it's going to kill someone or can potentially kill someone and you don't do anything about it, and that person dies, that's murder, according to the Bible. Let me give you one more exception. Protection of property. And I don't want to stay with these exceptions when killing is not murder, but this one's quite important, especially today in our society. In Exodus 22, it says, if a robber comes into your house at night, and you use force, and you kill him, the Bible says no blood will be shed for the thief. That's not murder. But if someone comes into your house during the day, a thief comes into your house during the day, according to the same chapter, and you use force, you can use force, yes, but if you kill him during the day, it is murder. Why did God make that different? Why, if you kill the thief when he's in your house at night, is it not murder? But if you do it when he's in your house in daylight, it is. The answer is, because Israel was a very close community, and during the day the doors were left open in all the houses, and anyone might come in to anyone else's house, even an accident. Have you done it yourself? On holiday you go into the wrong apartment. An accident. During the day, you can see who the person is. Houses were all open. But during the night, all the houses were secured and locked. And if someone is in your house at night, it's no accident. They have broken in. And that's far more dangerous if they've broken in than if they just come in during the day, isn't it? If that person gets killed who has broken into your house during the night, that's not murder according to God's law. Not that I would recommend you do it in our country, because they'll put you in jail anyway. If they do it in America they go more by the Bible. If a robber breaks into your house in America and you shoot him dead, there's not even a court case. So defending your property. Anyway. So is there a time when killing is not murder? Yes, during execution, war, accident, or a thief that's broken into your home. The commandment, the sixth commandment means, do not murder. The punishment is death. And there are certain times when killing is not counted as murder, according to the Bible. Now, God says, thou shalt not murder. Now I want to ask the question, why? That's the second point, the reason why God says that. Why are we not allowed to kill other people? Why does God forbid murder? The first answer is, because human beings are made in God's image. It's God that only has the right to end a human life. Randomly like that. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, God says that himself. Whosoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Why? For in the image of God he made man. That's the reason why God said, for in the image of God. To murder is to kill someone made in God's image, in God's likeness. Someone created by God. It's God's prerogative to take life. It's not ours. He created it. To kill a human that's made in God's image is an insult to God. Imagine if you entered into a private art gallery, if someone did. And they took all the pictures off the wall and they smashed them to pieces. All the paintings, smashed them all. Well, that's not only vandalism and wanton destruction. Isn't that an insult to the artist? God is the artist. His image is in us. And the murderer smashes God's image. It's an insult to God. He's the giver and creator of life. Therefore, we have sanctity of human life. Human life is precious. Human life is valuable because we are human. We are made in God's image. The murderer devalues human life. Life becomes cheap when murder is not counted as serious. Let me give you a quote. Even today, there is a sense of bewilderment on the part of a husband who watches a man sent to prison for just a few years for killing his young wife in a drink drive murder. The inevitable thought must be, is that how valuable my wife was? It is that value of life argument that leads many people to conclude that while capital punishment should be dropped for many crimes, it should be retained for murder. Murder is wrong because human life is valuable. We are made in God's image. But also, murder is wrong because it's permanent. Murder is the final act. There's no going back. When a person murders another human, they take away all that other person is and ever will be. They just take it away. It's final. This is the final reality. And oh yes, people can debate all about it they want, but the people that are debating about it are alive. It's final. It sends a human into eternity forever. God forbids murder. Because humans are valuable. Because murder is permanent. And also, because it pollutes God's word. This is greatly forgotten. This part of the reason why God forbids murder is forgotten, especially, I say, in Northern Ireland today. With all our experience of murder, we have forgotten this bit. That according to the Bible, murder pollutes a land. In Genesis 4 verse 10, when Cain murdered Abel, God said, "The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me out of the ground." See, it's not over then. When someone is murdered, their blood cries to God. If Abel's blood cried to God, and that was just one person, how much more the thousands? And look at what it says in the book of Numbers. I'll read it to you if you don't want to turn it. Numbers chapter 35. Let me read from verse 30. Here's what God's law says. Whosoever killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person and cause him to die. It has to be more than one witness, because then you just have lots of people telling. More than one witness. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction, and that word satisfaction in my Bible means bribe. You shall take no bribe for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death. He shall surely be put to death. And you shall take no bribe for him that has fled to the city of refuge. No. Don't pollute the land. If a murderer goes to the city of refuge, you won't take a bribe. He's not safe there either. That's only for people that kill by accident. And then God says in verse 33, so ye shall not pollute the land wherein you are. For blood, it defileth the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit. God says blood defiles the land, the earth, the word name. And the land cannot be cleansed except by the blood of the murderer. That's who he made. That's what God said. But the land remains polluted unless the murderer is executed. And that's what happened in Israel. You read about it in Isaiah and in Jeremiah and in Ezekiel and all the minor prophets and Amos and all. Good innocent people were murdered. But justice was not done. It just went on and on and on. They didn't obey what God said. And time again, God tells them, they have polluted the land. And he comes to Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 9 and he says, the land is filled with blood. Murders went unpunished, you see. And the land became polluted. It was filled with blood. And that's just the fact. The Old Testament. But I want to just say this. Look at the murders in our land. Has our land been cleansed? Men and women, Northern Ireland is not beautiful to God. It's polluted. The blood cries to him from the ground of every human soul. It's a polluted land. There's the blood of thousands in this land. And this is a land that loves murderers. It does. On both sides. A land where the murderer's right is supreme. The victim's right's not supreme. It doesn't exist. He's dead. Make no mistake, men and women. We are a part of this country. And we put the representatives of murderers in government. We are a land that love murder. We glory in our shame. We are a polluted land, according to God. Life is cheap, isn't it? Isn't life cheap? I read the paper the other day. See, I haven't read a paper in 6 months. The amount of violence in our land is disgraceful. Life is cheap. Except the life of the murderer. It's very precious, isn't it? I'm not going to apply this message. It ended up too long. I'm going to apply it next Sunday morning. But I just want to leave with you. Murder is a terrible sin. But, always remember, Jesus Christ died on the cross. In whose place did he die? He died in the place of a man called Barabbas. And Barabbas, the Bible said, was a murderer. And that's the only way that a murderer can be saved. That's the only way that any sin can be forgiven. When Jesus takes our place, he takes our punishment, sets us free, we're forgiven. When we believe in him, believe in Jesus, and all your sins will be forgiven. When you do that, you know that he has taken your place. Amen. Thank you for your time.